Lonnie came out from cover and led them across the few hundred yards of desert soil that ended abruptly with the beginning of the ville, in the shape of a few old adobe buildings that were quiet. They walked past and began to hit the old tarmac and pavement of the pre-dark town.
Residential. No one's up yet.
This area of Charity was entirely quiet, and as they walked along the paved sidewalk, Dean wondered if they would be noticeable as the only people out on the streets at this hour.
It's okay, we'll head for the drag. That's never quiet.
It took them only a few minutes' walk to negotiate the back streets and reach the town center, Lonnie knowing exactly where he was headed. Dean realized that they knew nothing of Lonnie's personal history, and he wondered what the man's grudge was against Baron Al. Whatever it was, now that they were here, he seemed as fired up against the ville as Carell had been when they first encountered him a few days earlier.
Come on, let's blend in.
What about Sekwags, the convoy?
I know where they'll be, all right, but we need to leave that till later in the day, Jack, when there's some action on them. The yard'll be empty by now. We got till nightfall. Yeah. If we get separated, we rendezvous where we camped last night, okay? Now it's time for action.
The scouting party found themselves at a saloon. Lonnie opened the doors. A long makeshift bar, constructed from old shop counters and covered with chicken wire, was being propped up by a number of men and women with prominently displayed blasters. They were all rapidly downing home-brewed spirit, and the smell of the grain used for the brew permeated the room with a decaying stink. The boombox behind the bar, guarded by the bartender, a fat man with a graying beard as long as his belly was large, was playing some old song. A sign proclaimed that each drinker was limited, due to shortage of brew and shortage of grain to make it, to three drinks only. A quick head count of those sunk into corners, either unconscious or near to it, suggested that the brew was strong enough that very few drinkers would make it to their limit. Lonnie strode across to the bar, and the fat man looked at him with a curious stare, as though he half recognized him.
What can I do for you?
Drinks for all of us, Jim.
The bartender's eyes narrowed at the use of his name. There was also something about the voice that was familiar.
Say, I'll give you the drinks if you've got the jack, but maybe I shouldn't. There's something a mite too familiar about you, boy. Something that rings a danger bell in my head.
My friend, the only thing that rings bells in your head is that brain rot you've been serving for too long. Always said that you shouldn't drink your own brew.
Well, wouldn't have recognized you, Lon. Never did see you without a beard or all that hair, but voices don't change, do they?
They sure don't. Now, how about you do the business and give us what I'm paying for?
Sure.
The bartender took the money with one hand while he laid out a row of glasses with the other. Raising a bottle filled with a murky spirit, he poured along the row of glasses with practiced ease, slopping very little between glasses.
What brings you back here, Lon? You know that Baron Al would sure as shit be pleased to see you back.
Yeah, just like he'd be pleased to know how little of your profit actually goes into his coffers, and about the way you let the gaudy sluts use the bar without giving him his share of the jack.
Both Dean and Danny, curious, saw a woman in one corner taking two customers at once. Her head was buried in the lap of a semi-conscious man who seemed not to know what was taking place, while her short dress was hiked up above her waist, and another man moved rhythmically behind her, his movements pushing her head into the other's lap farther and farther.
See, boys, Baron Al likes to keep his business under strict control down here so he can get his share of the jack. Jem here isn't supposed to run gaudies, and she sure as hell won't be giving the jack she fleeced from those dudes to Baron Al, will she?
I don't take jack shit from her.
No, but you do take favors, don't you, Jem?
Shit, look at her, wouldn't you?
Yeah, Sally's a good piece of ass, but that ain't the point. See, Jack, in Al's book, that's more jack she don't declare.
I knew I'd rue the day you came back, if you ever did come back. So what do you want from me?
No, not much. But enough. Do the sex still drink here in force?
Of course they do. Why do you think I can still have gaudy sluts in the house and get away with it?
Yeah, figured as much. So what do you hear when they get to the third glass?
About what?
About the big convoy and the trade-off of Summerfield.
Jesus, Lonnie. What do you want to know for?
Without warning, Lonnie reached across and grabbed the fat man by his beard, pulling him over the counter.
Ah, man! What the fuck do you do that for?
Because, fucker. Just because. Now, ask me no questions, and I won't slit your porky little throat.
The rest of the rec party was astounded by this sudden turn of events. They had all assumed that Lonnie would want them to blend in with the other Ville inhabitants, until such time as they had gleaned the necessary information and got the hell out. But now it would seem that Lonnie had a personal score that he wanted to settle while he was back in Charity, an assumption that was confirmed by his next few words.
I should have chilled you when I had the chance before, Jim. Maybe I'll finish the job this time.
Jack noted that, despite the fact that brawls were commonplace in bars, and people usually didn't interfere in case they got themselves chilled, the atmosphere had changed in this bar. Jim and Lonnie's exchange could barely be heard by the rec party, let alone by anyone else in the bar, over the noise of the boombox. But it was startlingly obvious to even the most intoxicated that there was something going on here that was beyond the normal bar brawl. Blasters were being drawn, and safety catches clicked off. Jack nudged Dean.
Be ready. Get out quick.
What about the others?
We have a rendezvous, and we know a time. I suspect we may very well have to leave the rest to chance.
Meanwhile, Mick and Tilly were trying to stop Lonnie from going any further.
Come on, Lonnie, leave this shit. We can't risk a firefight before we've even started, can we?
You don't know what this fucker did.
Ah, come off it, Lonnie. Like you were all that innocent.
The fuck I wasn't.
You're right, Lonnie. I don't know what this fucker did. And guess what? I don't fucking care. I just want us to get this mission accomplished and get back to Papa Joe, okay?
I think it may be too late.
One of the drinkers, holding a remade snub-nosed .38, wandered closer to them.
Their problem here, Jim?
You could say that, Jackson.
The disheveled drunk held the Smith & Wesson up to Lonnie's head. His arm was heavily muscled, and his hand was rock steady.
Maybe you should let him go, limp dick.
Make me, shithead.
The veins were bulging in Lonnie's head. Danny leaned over to Dean, keeping an eye on the rest of the bar. Even the gaudy slut Sally had stopped what she was doing and looked up from her position.
It's all gonna go up, and I think we should get the fuck out before we all get chilled.
What about Lonnie?
Leave him. All have job, right?
Scatter and try to assemble later.
Take Doc with me.
I am much obliged, my dear Mr. Lauren.
Dean, you come with me. While they check the convoy, I think there's something else you should see.
Sure, let's just get the hell out of here.
You chill him, and you're on the last train west too, fucker.
Oh, God, what now?
They all turned. Mick had a Walther PPK hand blaster in his fist, and it was pointed at the head of the disheveled drunk, who still had his Smith & Wesson at Lonnie's head.
Well, I'll be goddamned. A goddamn New Mexican standoff, eh? What do y'all say to that?
The gaudy slut had a small derringer, which she kept tucked into her dress between her breasts. Jackson was one of her best customers, and she wasn't about to lose that source of income. Fortunately, she was a lousy shot, and the small caliber slugs took out the strip lighting above the bar. Chaos descended. Blasters were raised and shots fired with absolutely no sense of direction. In the hot and darkened bar, there were shouts and screams of pain from those customers who were hit by stray slugs. The only ones not to fire were the members of the rec party. Jack and Doc had already hit the floor and were threading their way toward the exit as the firefight began. Behind them, Dean and Danny had also hit the ground, but as the young plotter made to follow Jack and Doc, Danny grabbed him by the arm.
What?
This way. We'll take the back way.
Sure, whatever.
Dean turned and followed Danny. They could catch up with Jack and Doc back at the rendezvous. As for Mick, Tilly, and Lonnie, anything could be happening to them, for all that Dean could see or hear in the dark, dense atmosphere of the bar, which now stank of cordite, blood, and fear. Jackson had been distracted by the slut's loose shooting. He had turned his head away for a fraction of a second, his arm slackening just enough to alert Mick to an opening. Mick had raised the blaster he had aimed at the drunk's head and brought it down again, butt first. The heavy stock parted the drunk's skull with a force that cleaved an open wound in the flesh and left him with blood coursing down his forehead. The drunk crumpled under the blow and fell away. At the same moment, Lonnie slammed Jem's head onto the bar with a force that drove it down through the chicken wire in the glass.
Ah! Motherfucker!
The bartender's face suddenly opened up with 1,000 tiny and painful wounds as the wire and shards of glass were driven into his eyes, blinding him with blood and pain. Mick turned and loosed Lonnie's grip while Tilly grabbed the rec leader by his other arm.
Let's get the fuck out of here!
Pulling Lonnie away, assisted by Mick, Tilly directed him toward the exit that Doc and Jack had used.
Let's move it and keep him down!
Meanwhile, Danny was leading Dean through the confused and drunken crowd toward the rear exit from the bar. They reached the door to the back alleyway, which was littered with garbage and housed a few rats that scuttled for cover.
Where to now, Danny?
Out front, where the other members had been making their escape, a crowd had gathered, made up of curious drinkers and sec men reluctant to walk into a firefight before it had run its course.
Fucking great.
Danny and Dean, however, had a clear getaway. They were out into the alleyway, and both young men scrambled to their feet, slowing as they gained a few yards from the bar's back door.
Don't draw attention to yourself. We don't want anyone coming around the back to wonder why we're in a hurry and blast first before asking any questions.
Jeez, Dean. I think I may have gathered that. I know I'm not that great at this, but I'm not a complete idiot.
Sorry.
Who the hell got us out the easy way?
Okay. There is one thing that bothers me, though. How the hell did you know about the back door and where it was?
They reached the main drag. Danny was leading them back into the crowd that had gathered around the bar. They skirted the far edge of the crowd so as not to get noticed or recognized by those now emerging from the bar who could point them out to the sec men. Dean tried to keep an eye out for the rest of the rec party, but it was too confused and rowdy around the bar to see anything definite.
This way.
Danny took Dean down the first turn that led away from the main drag.
Now just stick with me and trust me.
It's not that I don't, Danny. It's more a case of not knowing what the hell is going down here. After all, you said that...
nothing. Listen. Everyone who ever lived in Charity knows all about the drag. And remember, my dad did sec over the whole ville. Anyway, I've seen the plans of this ville back in Baronel's little private sanctum. And that, my friend, is where we're going now.
But what about the others?
How many times are you going to ask me that?
But we're supposed to be on wreck for the trade convoy, not chasing after any...
Danny stopped walking and turned heatedly on Dean.
Listen, there are 5 of them going after that information. I figured that the real way forward is to get more info on the old tech. And I figure that's what your people want as well. So we leave the scouting to them, and we try to get our hands on something a little more interesting, right?
But there'll be time for that when we've raided the convoy. Right now, the best
thing
is to
just... The best thing is to cover as many bases as possible. Just trust me on this. If I'm wrong, chill me already. But we could do everyone a few favors. I know where the storehouse is, and I know how to get in there. So do we go, or do we not?
All right, let's do it.
That's what I like to hear.
Danny grinned and turned to go, leading Dean away from the main drag and into the main body of the ville.